Praise God. Praise the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Amen. Welcome all of you to the house of God. Welcome to His holy presence. The presence of God is in this place. Amen. If you are in the area, if you are able to come and attend service, by all means, don't just leave it for the live stream. Come and participate. Come be part of the worship. If you have any sort of prayer request, present it to the Lord in His house, in His holy hill. Our God wants. He said it Himself, I want. In addition to that, He will. He will do a mighty thing in your life. He will do a mighty thing in your circumstance. In the life of your family, your loved ones, it doesn't matter who it is, God will do it. We've seen it over and over and over and over again. You know, this is just not an academic faith. This is just not something that we learned. This is something that we experience, every single one of us, every single one of us. And if it wasn't real for me, I wouldn't want any part of it. I wouldn't. I've said it before and I'll keep saying it. If this was not real, why waste my time? Why bother? So by all means, come receive your healing. Come receive your blessing here in the house of God. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome. Welcome this evening. And welcome. You're joining us online. My name is Pastor Teddy Santos from Baltimore Christian Faith Center. It's a pleasure to share the word of the Lord with you at every opportunity that I have to share the word of God, to minister the word of the Lord. It's an honor to serve my God, and it's an honor to serve every single one of you. Amen? Amen. Praise God. This evening is going to be a slight continuation from this morning. And I do wish to get to it right away. And before we do, let's start with a word of prayer. Lord, we love you. Lord, we praise you. We bless your name, Lord, here in your house. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful church. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful saints that come and worship with us. Thank you, Lord, for all the lives that's watching right now, the live stream this evening. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that they will know you fully, that they would understand what you are saying to them this evening. I pray, Lord, that you will open up the minds of everyone, Lord, right now, both here and online right now, that they would understand what the Spirit of God is saying this evening. All the honor and glory and praise, Lord, belongs to you and no one else. May they see you, Lord, and may they hear you. And it is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. This evening, we're going to be talking about submission to God. But you're going to find that I'm going to take a slightly different approach towards this exact topic. And I'm getting ready to show you how so. Please turn with me to James chapter 4. We've brought our Bibles tonight, yes? Yes. Amen. Praise God. We're going to read verse 7. Thank you. James 4, starting in verse 7. Whenever you're there, you could say amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Praise the Lord. James 4. Thank you, sister. James 4. 7, starting verse 7, and I'll go ahead and take that, please. The word of the Lord says, therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Once again, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Amen. Praise the Lord. The concept of self-denial right now is at the heart of the Apostle Paul, teaching on submission to the Lord our God. Self-denial. Our carnal nature, this nature that we have inherited, this carnal nature is full of pride, is full of self. Me first, my way or the highway. Everyone needs to appease to me, or I put myself first, my self-interest. Right now, what Paul is addressing is self-denial, and particularly to submission to God. We have died with Christ and must sacrifice our life for Him. Do you understand when I say this? Thank you, brother. Thank you, the one brother. Some of us maybe might have like, oh man, is sacrifice really? I don't like that. This Christianity stuff is just way too much. Why can't it be easy? Why can't we just be blessed and then blessed and then more blessed and more blessed? And everything is a victory. Everything is... Not everything is going to be that way. As I mentioned this morning, we will be tested. Our faith will be tested. Our character will be tested. Our courage will be tested. Time and time and time again. Just recently, we were all, including myself, we were all tested in this pandemic. This pandemic was a major test of faith to so many people, not just Christians, not just believers, but pastors. Pastors. It's very unfortunate that I've heard certain pastors falling into depression because they didn't know what to do. Their congregation withered. They had to close their doors. Buildings were repossessed and, you know, so many things that happened, and they're in, like pastor used to say, desperation mode, right? They went into despair. Some of them the Lord came through in a mighty way, and others depended more so in the best that they can do, and it didn't work out for the best. Every single one of us were recently tested, just about a year and a half ago or so. A couple years, I think, yeah. So we will be tested one way or another. And we must always sacrifice. We must live for the Lord and not for ourselves. We must always put God first. In the book of Titus, the Apostle Paul writes of the grace of God training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, that is, denying ourselves in the desires that we have, our carnal desires. I want to show you this verse in Titus chapter 2, verse 12. May I have that, please? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. That's every single one of us. Self-denial requires genuine humility in submission. Or it is merely counterfeit. It's not real. It's not going to be valid. It's not going to work. Now, speaking of submission, our opening verse here, specifically verse 7, it says, therefore, submit to God. And I stopped and I meditated on this particular section right here. Specifically, it says, therefore. Why did he put there, therefore? Why couldn't the verse just start out by saying, submit to God? I've come to discover that submission is something that is very difficult to a lot of people. And if it wasn't difficult, the apostle would have not written these words here in this epistle. And why is submitting so difficult? There are two basic reasons that I've discovered in my studying. The one is education, and the second one is attitude. And I'm getting ready to discuss right now both of them. The one occurs because we all want to be free. Everyone wants to have more liberty than what he has right now. True or false? I'll use you an example right now. And I'm being so sincere right now. I'm being transparent. I'm not going to say that I'm being honest because I am always honest. Continuously. But I am going to be totally transparent right now. I wish I had the liberty to go 100 miles an hour everywhere I go. I do. I'm being so sincere right now. You know, I have the machinery to do it. My car could potentially make it to 100, and it's not going to shake like that, you know. I've had cars, once you go 80, it starts shaking a little bit. Or the aerodynamics is terrible and starts, you know, wandering on you, floating a little bit. That's not a good feeling. I might have a motorbike or so that could potentially, well, not potentially. I know it can do over 100. I mean, I read about it, right? You know, I read a lot. You know, and I'll just leave it at that. But we all have a willingness to have a little bit more freedom, no matter what it might be. That's just an example that I used. We all have it. So, everyone wants to have a little bit more liberty. Liberty is a major theme in the Bible. But we have a problem. And that problem is misinformation, miseducation, things that we might not be aware of. And because of this miseducation, each of us puts a different spin on what it means to be free. Being free does not mean the same thing to every person, because the same thing are not equally important to every single person. For me, I might enjoy tunnel vision. I might enjoy going shoom. But I know you, brother. You like to stay in the speed limit continuously. You get great gas mileage, by the way. Some of us might not desire to go fast as much as maybe I might. So things are different for every single person. Other people want to be free to exercise their lustful passions with greater liberty. It's something that I have witnessed. We have witnessed more and more and more these days. They want to have liberty to marry whoever they want. They want to be able to do whatever they want. And they want to be accepted. And they want laws be put to place because they don't want their rights to be violated, their freedom to be violated. Everybody puts a little spin, a little bit of a different twist in what he or she would like to be free to do. Whether you are a born-again Christian or whether or not you're considering religiosity, you're curious about it, or maybe you know the truth, but you want things to be spun in your direction. And why? Let me show you these words right now that come from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. It says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct. Conduct going nowhere. Useless, aimless conduct received by, what is that? Tradition? From your fathers? There's two things right now that I want to point out. We're going to start with tradition. Tradition is that cultural way. It is a method or an outlook that is imposed on us. Oftentimes, it's imposed on us since birth. The influences of our culture are layered on us. And I could relate this to like an onion. It's layer after layer after layer. And what layers of culture, therefore, tradition is pretty much on us to this day. I venture to say right now that the children that are born right now, in these days, are going to have a different view towards the things that we view how we were raised, say 20 years from now, 30, 40 years from now. Why? Because the culture has embedded all these things on them. Who is legally right to be married? What are you able to do? Do we rely on government help or not? What else? So many things, a lot of it even dealing with politics. A lot of it dealing with morality. The initial layer, if we're going to start from beginning, starts from home, starts from a family. And I also do have to include a lack of. It begins to set our minds about what is important in life. Then there is a slightly larger segment, and that is our neighborhood, where we were raised. At first, the neighborhood does not have a great deal of influence, but once we begin to expand our lives outside of the home, mom's and dad's influence slowly start to begin to wane. I've experienced that once upon a time. And then our peers in our neighborhood begins to impress upon us a little bit broader culture that is then layered on us because we have escaped the home. And as it were, from the home, and have now gone into the neighborhood. And then we just keep layering and layering and layering. The city that you live in has an impact in your attitude, in your personality, in the way that you think. The state, the region that you're from, and then your nation. The Apostle Peter said that we have been redeemed from tradition. We have been cleansed from tradition. And what I'm specifically talking about is worldly tradition. I know that we live in a country that is mixed with many cultures. They call it a melting pot. Yes, it is. We are made up of so many people, so many nations, so many languages from all over the world. And a lot of times people want to have an influence. I read somewhere that there's a group of people that is trying real hard to change our language. What was that? To make a different language. You know what I'm talking? Have you read that? To make a secondary language an official language. But the article did not say which language it was. I wonder if it's Spanish. It could only be Spanish, I believe. Was it Spanish? Yeah. People trying to infiltrate their culture in our nation. Now, I'll be the first to say it. I'm a foreigner. I've come to this country when I was a teenager, a young teenager. I wouldn't want Portuguese to be the secondary mandatory language here. I'm perfectly fine with English, you know. So I would not want to change things, but there are people who think this way, who want to impose their traditions on us more than just the language. And sometimes that creates a conflict. People don't like that. Let me show you right now 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Therefore, brethren, check this out. Stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistles. Aha. Well now. You know what this is saying? God has traditions also. He's got his traditions, doesn't he? It spells it out right there. I don't need to break the Greek for that one. We could understand that perfectly clear. On one hand, we have the traditions that God is teaching us through his word, teaching us through the ministers, through the pastors, through the teachers, through the elders, through the men and women of God. This is a tradition that the Lord has set in place since way back when. It's always been this way. This is how God has made things. He has traditions to which he wants his family, the family of God, to conform. But we have brought traditions with us, a lot of us, from the world. Worldly traditions. It sets the stage right there for conflict. The tradition of God and the tradition that we have from the world will not and will never mesh, ever. When we add to this our desires to be free, it makes quite an interesting mess. It creates conflict. We have said in our minds, it's supposed to be this way and it's supposed to be that way because of how we were brought up or our tradition. And when it conflicts itself to the things of God, and then you want to mix liberty and freedom over top of that, conflict arises. There's a mess. Let me show you right now 2 Thessalonians 3:6. It says, but we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. And who is us? The men of God. The man that moves by the power of the Holy Spirit. Everything that he says, he does, and he wrote was an inspiration from above. Disassociate yourself, distance yourself a little bit from that dude, from that gal who is causing problems, being disorderly, and is not following the tradition that you have received from the Lord. The major difference here is that our God's traditions are always right. And our God's tradition are always true, and they work. They work. Unquestionably, they work. Amen? Amen? Only the tradition of God are completely right and true and will produce the right things. When there is conflict between tradition that we have brought into the church and God's tradition, we have to submit to God because we are not free to do as we please. We must submit to Him. If we do as we please because we put our own particular spin on what we think liberty is, it will bring us into conflict with God. And that, and you don't want that. You really don't want that. It is detrimental to one's spiritual health and one's relationship with God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's talk about the second reason. The second reason we have trouble is because of our attitudes. Our attitudes might be not correct, not right, perverted, might be tainted. Let me show you now Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to read verse 1 through verse 3. Thank you. And the word of the Lord says, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the other." Wow. I want to show you something here right now. We're talking right now about attitude in conjunction to submission. There is a spirit characterized by desire. And that spirit is the spirit of lust. To have it our way. Misinformation combined with negative attitude equals conflict. Human nature is a package of attitudes dominated by the desires to gratify the self, to gratify the flesh, what we want, putting us ourselves first above everything else. And this is why the apostle says, submit, submit, submit to God. I want to show you right now, James 4. May I please have James chapter 4. We're going to read the first three verses. It says, "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members?" Verse 2, "You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures." Once again, over and over and over, speaking about self. It speaks about lust. Satisfying our own self instead of submitting to a higher power. Our desires, every single one of us, whether it is the relationship between a husband and a wife in marriage, our desires in conjunction to, let's just say, our business. Let's go ahead and include politics. Our desires as far as politics is concerned, and even among other nations right now where we're hearing all these rumors of war. As it's mentioned in the Bible, in the end times, there will be wars and rumors of wars. Aren't we living that right now? It's mentioned in the Word of God. All these things keep crashing into one another. Conflicts will never end until everyone is keeping the tradition of God. That is why we are this is why we are in the process of conversion. It's a continuous process. It's a continuous renewal. It is our responsibility to convert over to God's tradition so that we stop crashing into one another. We have to overcome this attitude of self-gratification. We have to be aware of this. The enemy is ultimately the source of both of these. And as I mentioned this morning, we have to recognize that we are still influenced in this world. There are still many things that want to influence us day and night, and that we pick up on the broadcast every single day, whether it's on the radio, whether it's on the TV, whether it's on the tubes, whatever it might be. It makes sometimes submitting very difficult. It's one of the reasons why I've completely stopped watching the news. I can't say that I've completely stopped watching TV because I like to watch sports, you know. The Winter Olympics, you know, that was entertaining. And football season, you know, was just over. I root for the home team. You know, I played sports all of my life. And I enjoy, you know, sports, you know, broadcast here and there for entertainment purpose and whatnot. It's not religiously, of course. But you want to watch what is, you want to observe, you want to take caution as far as what you feed your mind. Because then you're going to start thinking one way. And a lot of times it's not the way that you're supposed to think. Always keep in mind that the enemy is always behind all these things. It's super well masqueraded. Liberty without guidance. What do I mean by guidance? Liberty without laws, without principles, without doctrine, without policies. I'm even going to include an example of another person. A mentor, a spiritual father, a spiritual mother, whoever it might be, to which one submits. Meaning, we as individuals submitting through self-control and self-governing will turn into chaos because of the desire for power to control. We want to control. We want to be always in control of our situations, of our circumstances, of our finances, of the total outcome, instead of submitting to something that's invisible, to something that requires faith. Do you understand? The desire to control is what we call freedom. The desire to control is what we call liberty. Submission, whether accepting willingly or grudgingly, is absolutely necessary. It is better to accept it and do it grudgingly than to not do it at all. We must submit, whether we like it or not. I tell my wife all the time, I'm a submissive husband. As you wish, honey. Where would you like to eat today? Whatever your heart desireth. But nonetheless, moving on. We have to understand then that there is authority. There is always authority. It may be God, yes, 100%. But it could also be another human being. It could be the police. It could be the president. Whether you like him or don't like him. It could be a role model, an exemplar, whatever it might be. The Lord has placed authority here on earth. It is an unavoidable fact of life. We face it all the time. Everybody lives under an authority. All of us. Every single one of us. And everyone must submit, even if it is only the laws of nature. I just recently spoke about that. There is hardly a person who will not submit to the law of gravity, correct? While standing on the edge of a 1,000-foot cliff. That's a perfect example. Are you going to submit to the law of gravity? Are you going to keep on walking and defy gravity? You want to bump chest, puff up against gravity? Who do you think is going to win that battle? Right? What have you just done? You've submitted. You submitted to the law of gravity. You submitted to that law. And thus, because we step away from the cliff and not over it, we have just submitted to that law. Why? Because you want to preserve your liberty. Because you want to preserve your life. And you want to live. And we know if we break that law, if we do not submit to it, it will break us. And if you happen to survive that fall, you're a changed man. And not for the better. And you don't want that. So what do? You respect it. You submit. So we all submit to something in life. Every single one of us. And if you notice that this subject has a broad application. As I've made several reference right now this evening. Submission does not involve only relationship with God or relationship with other people. Submission occurs in almost every area of life. Even in submitting to things we would call common sense, like, for example, the laws of nature. Anybody who has the mind of God will be looking for opportunities to submit, because that is, in a paradoxical manner, where true freedom comes from. When we submit, we receive freedom. I would like for you to recall a verse, and I'm closing out right now with John chapter 8, verse 32, where our Lord Jesus said these words. May I have that, please? Thank you. It says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I believe the King James says, "And the truth shall set you free," right? We all know that. You shall know the truth. You will know the truth, and that truth that we're talking about will set you free, will make you free. It's not our Lord's application that one shall be free only if he submits to the truth, otherwise know the truth. The Lord is saying right now that you shall be set free when you know the truth. When you submit to the truth. Knowing the truth is simply not enough. Liberty comes to those who submit to this truth. If one is standing on the edge of a 1,000-foot drop, common sense and the truth of God will say that one should obey the law of gravity, unless one desires to give up his freedom to live. True liberty consists of submitting to the truth. It is the liberty God wants us to have. You want to have liberty? You want to have freedom? You want to be set free? Submit to God. Submit to the Lord. Amen? Submit to God. Resist the devil, and the devil will flee from you. Amen. Amen? Let's conclude with a word of prayer. Lord, we worship you. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your holy word. Thank you, Lord, so much for teaching us, for guiding us. Thank you, Lord, that your truth is freedom. Freedom from bondage. Freedom, Lord, from curses. Freedom, Lord, for everything that attacks us. And thank you, Lord, that we are winners through you. Thank you, Lord, that the enemy has to flee when we wholeheartedly submit to you 100%. I pray, Lord, that we will all learn to submit to you, every single one of us. May we have, Lord, the knowledge, the know, the desire, the will. May we comprehend what your word says. May we know and understand what your purpose for us is. And once we know that, may we willingly submit to it. Thank you, Lord, so much for teaching us your word this evening. I pray, Lord, that your name and your name alone will be glorified this evening and forever. And it is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.